Okay.
Let's see, yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to talk about today is Psuge de Zimra. We're moving on along here wow. in our the halachot of tefillah, of davening. I think, I guess not next week, because we're like we just said, we're not going to have a shiur next week, but the week after we'll probably get into Shema already. Shema is going to be take us a few weeks. There's a lot. Shema is a very comprehensive topic. Psuge de Zimra we'll talk about hopefully in 1 week. We'll spend this week talking about the halachot of Psuge de Zimra, and then we'll be set. If you recall, even before we begin, we already talked a little bit about Psuge de Zimra, about what to skip when we talked about tefillah b'tzibur. Feel a bit.
Money.
Well, what about you?
Yeah. Oh, here I have. I have a water bottle.
Oh,
have,
okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The tefillah, we talked about skipping because tefillah b'tzibur means saying Shemona Esrei with the tzibur. So we're not really going to talk about that. That's going to be kind of lurking in the background for what we're going to talk about. But we're going to talk about Psuge de Zimra. We're going to have a background. We're going to talk about why we say Psuge de Zimra. We're going to talk about the historical development of Psuge de Zimra. Well, these are very interesting topics. And we're going to talk about a few practical halacha topics in Psuge de Zimra. So the Gemara says in Shavas Daf Kuf Yud Chedam Adbet in Source 1, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Yehei Chelki Migomrei Halel Bechol Yom. He says, my share, may I be with the people who finish saying Halel every day. This is what he says. My share, my chelki should be with the people that finish Halel every day. And the Gemara says, Aini, could he have really said that? What's the problem? Hamar Mar. But Mar said, Hakore Halal b'chol yom. If somebody says Halal every single day, Hareze mecharev u'megadev. If somebody says Halal every day, it's blasphemous. We'll talk about that in a second. Oh. It's blasphemous to say Halal every day. He could not. Rav Yossi could not have said that he wanted to say Halal every day. That would be a really bad thing. So, what is the Gemara says, Ki Kamri, what did he mean? He meant B'Psuke de Zimra. He wanted his share to be with those people that say P'Psuke de Zimra every single day. And what do you see? What you see from this Gemara is two things. First thing, at least for our purposes of Psuge de Zimra, is that in the times of the Gemara there was something called Psuge de Zimra, right? It's not all past the Gemara time stage.
What does it mean, Psuge de Zimra?
So Psuge de Zimra means Psuke Psukim, and Zimra is a song of Zemer. Yeah. I saw that that. Rav Melamed had a different had a second explanation on top of that one that was very interesting. Zomer is when you prune your trees, you cut off the some things and leave other things. So he said it was kind of like that for davening, that you prepare yourself, you move stuff away, you take stuff out of yourself, you get yourself ready for davening. But I think and if you ask 100 people, probably almost all 100 of them would tell you that it's psukim of song to God.
But the thing is, it's long, and the thing is, it's important to do all of them in the Psuke de Zimra,
Okay, so that's what, we talked about that a little bit for skipping. Yeah, it's the Mishnah Brura that we saw already a while back said that you should come to shul with enough time to say everything, so yeah, you shouldn't every day, you know, go in saying, I'll just say 2-3 things, but Tefillah b'tzibur is more important, so you should skip some of Psuke de Zimra. But we'll talk a little bit about the different parts of Psuke de Zimra in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we see two things. One is that they had this concept of Psuke de Zimra, and the second is that it seems to be optional to a large extent, yeah. Right? Because Rabbi Yossi says that he wants his share to be with those people who say Psuke de Zimra. It sounds like it was a higher level kind of idea. Certainly not everybody was doing it. It sounds only a few people were doing it. And Rabbi Yossi wants to be amongst those people who say Psuke de Zimra. So the Tzitz Eliezer, not explaining anything that's related to our share on Psuke de Zimra, but explaining why, if somebody says Halal every single day, it's considered to be blasphemous, quotes from the Meshech Chochma, who says that if you say Halal every day, it makes it sound like you only praise God for the great miracles, right? That's a lot of a Halal is about, leaving Egypt and all these great miracles. And if somebody only praises God for great miracles, it makes it sound as if he's not thankful to God for all the regular occurrences in his every single day, in his daily life. Nice. So that's why the Gemara says that it's blasphemous to say Halal, because it sounds like you're only thanking God for great miracles and you're not thanking God for all the small things too. So that's we want to see that inside, but in Source 2, that Tzitz Eliezer quotes this from the Meshech Chochma. Okay, so now the question is, and there's going to be some ramifications to this question, why do we say Psukei Dezimra? Why do we say it? So the Panini Halacha quotes a Gemara. I took it from here because he just spells it out. I could have taken it the line from the Gemara too. But in source 3, he says, Haseder Haray Shel Tvila. So what's the order of davening? Lif Toach Tchila B'divrei Shevach L'Hashem. First, we want to start off by praising God, giving Shevach, praise to God. Virak achar kach lavo lefanav b'divrei bakasha. Only after the shevach, only after the praise, are we going to make our requests. V'davar zeh lamanu mitfilato shel Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the source for this, of praising God and then making a request? So the source is from Moshe. That's what Moshe did. Shepadach b'divrei shevach v'amar, the second line. Hashem Elokim atah hachilot el harot et avdecha et god lecha vet yadcha hachazaka asher mi el bashamayim uvaris asher yasecha maasecha v'chigvarotecha. So Moshe says, Hashem, you showed us, or you showed your servants, your greatness, your strong hand, that there's no other being in the heaven and the earth that's capable of doing the same thing, that could do your great wonders. And then the next pasuk, Moshe says, "Achar kach bikesh ebra navi et haaretz hatova." And then Moshe requests to go into Israel. First, Moshe praises God, and then Moshe requests Israel. So you see from here that you should praise God before making a bakasha, before making a request. The Alpi Zedoros Rabbi Simlai, and this is what Rabbi Simlai says in the Gemara, in the fourth line down here. Li Olam Yisader Adam Shivcho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Achar Kach Yipalel. A person should always praise Hashem and then daven and then make requests. So you might be wondering, where do we usually say this? We usually say first you give a Shevach, and then when you make your Bakashot for Shmona Esrei, right? And here what we're doing is we're taking it and we're applying it to Psukei Dezimra. We're saying Psukei Dezimra, you should praise God and then go into davening. So yeah, that's usually, and this is what the Panini Halacha here says. We'll see the Rambam in a minute. But Amnam Ikar Hakdamat Hashevich LeBakasha Midkayim B'Seder Birchot Shmona Esrei. Even though we really mainly apply this idea in Shmona Esrei, Shasholosh Baruch Harishono Potcho B'Shiv Divrei Shevach. Even though we usually apply this idea in Shmona Esrei, that first you praise and then you make requests. Ulam gamet klala tefila ray liftoch b'divrei shevach. But we still would take this idea in general and apply it to the beginning of davening also. We're still going to want to just praise God before we sit down to make requests. And that's why we say Psukei Dezimra. It's a way of praising God before we don't want to call it the meat of davening. Before we get into Shema and Shmona Esrei and request, we want to sit down first and praise God. And that's why we say Psukei Dezimra. And then in skipping to the next paragraph, Va'amna mitchila b'tkuvat ha'tanayim nechshava amira Psukei Dezimra k'minak chasidut sheshivchu chachamim. Even though in the times of the Gemara, it was a praiseworthy practice that not everybody did, but b'meshech hazman itpashet ha'minak v'na'asa l'minak mechayiv. Over the course of the years, and now we're already talking about over 1,000 years ago, already everybody was almost all doing the same kinds of thing, and it became more obligatory in everybody. Meaning that Psukei Dezimra is not absolute. It's not a mitzvah d'oraita. It doesn't even sound like it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. But it's a fantastic idea that the Jewish people have been doing for over 1,000 years. Some of which they've been doing for 1,500 or 2,000 years. And we'll see the differences in a few minutes. We'll see which ones in a few minutes. And if we take a look in the Rambam, I just put the Rambam into, it was good review for us, and it reminds us that the Rambam himself does not subscribe to the idea that that your Psukei Dezimra is about praising God. The Rambam applies this Gemara to Shmona Esrei. So the Rambam says, Lefichach nashim v'avadim chayavim b'tfila. In source 4, Lefi shehi mitzvah aseh shalosman gram. All right, women are obligated because it's not a time-bound mitzvah. That's already takes us back a few months. Elechiv mitzvah zeh kach sheyeh adam mitchanin mitpale b'chol yom u'magid shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yachar kach shalos rachav. The Rambam, the second line says, the point is that you want to praise God and then make your requests. And in the next halacha also, In the next halacha tuna, halacha dalad. Halacha dalad was where the Rambam told us the whole history of davening, that people didn't know the language, and they weren't able to daven, so the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah established tefillah, one common language for davening that included all the categories of everything anybody could ask for. And again, in this paragraph, the Rambam also says, in this halacha dalad, that shalosh, at the end of the top line, shalosh rishonot shevach lashem. The Rambam understands the Gemara that says, first you should give shevach, as only applying to Shmoneh Esrei, but not all the Rishonim agree, and it's a good idea, like we mentioned, to say Shevach before davening. So based on this, we say Shevach, we say Psuge Dezimra before we start davening. And there is another Gemara, very interesting Gemara, that seems to support this. The Gemara in Source 5 from the Bracho Daf Lamed Bet Amed Bet. Chasidim harishonim hayushoin sha'a achat. So this was from a Mishnah. That the Chasidim Rishonim, they used to prepare for davening for 1 hour.
Yes.
I'm sure people heard of this. They used to prepare for 1 hour. And the Gemara says, Menahani Mile. What's the source? Why would they do it? Why would they sit and they would sit before davening to get themselves ready?
Right.
Omar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Omar Kra, Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha. Praiseworthy are those who sit in the house of God. So they would sit. They would sit in the house of God and they would get themselves ready to daven. So what we're seeing from here, and I think that's why we say this pasuk in davening, Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha, as an allusion to the fact that that's the source for us sitting before davening to, I don't know, contemplate, to get mentally ready, to focus. This is kind of goes hand in hand with the shevach idea, that there's something... There's an element of preparation that goes into davening, right? Not good to just jump into bakasha, to jump into request. It's something that needs to be prepared for. And the Gemara continues, "V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Hamid Palat Zarechli Shout Sha'achat Achar Tfilato." Also, after davening, you should cool down. You should sit afterwards. Also, Shenemar Ach Tzadikim Yodu Lishmecha. Right, the tzaddikim that thank God, yeshvu yishar mepanacha. They sit then. They sit afterwards. So after davening, yeshvu, they sit. And Tanya Nami Hachi Amid Palat Sarach Sheyasha Sha'acha Kodem Tvilato V'Sha'achat Achar Tvilato. So we have a braita that says the same thing. You should wait. You should prepare for 1 hour before and 1 hour afterwards. Kodem Tvilato Minai In Shenemar Asherei Yoshvei Veitecha. Right, praiseworthy are those who sit in God's house. Okay, so that's what we just said. So now the Gemara says has an interesting question, something that maybe people were wondering. Tana Rabbanan. Chasidim Harishonim Hayu Shoin Sha'achat Mipalin Sha'achat V'Chozrin V'Shoin Sha'achat. The Chasidim Rishonim, they would get ready for 1 hour for davening. Then they would daven for an hour. Then they would spend an hour after davening. Okay. How many times a day were they doing this? There's three times a day. Three times a day. Okay. So 3 times 3, 9 hours a day. So the Gemara says, V'chim yachar sheshoin teisha shaot bayom b'tfila. They were spending 9 hours a day davening. Toradcha heyach mishtamered. How were they? Didn't have time to learn Torah, to review Torah. Malachtan heyach nasim. What about their work? If you're in davening for 9 hours a day, where's your time to learn, to work, to do everything else? To which the Gemara was an interesting question, and the Gemara gives an interesting answer. Because these were already very unique people that were doing this, Toratam mishtamer umelachtan mitbarechet. Presumably, it sounds like they already learned a lot of Torah, because these are people that are very unique people, and they were able to review, like God gave them some type of bracha that they could review less and still remember it, and that they would have to, their work, their fields, whatever their property, whatever they were doing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was made it mitbarechet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it a bracha for these people. It sounds like maybe for other people it would not be such a great idea to spend 9 hours a day davening. And it could be that when the Gemara earlier, I saw this in a footnote, in the art scroll, they quoted from our own in the Rishonim, that it could be when the Gemara says, Sarach l'shaot sha at the beginning, it's talking about general people, and you don't have to wait, not everybody does an hour, but something. Okay, so this is our first idea for Psuke de Zimra, is that it's Shevach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There might be a second reason for saying Psuke de Zimra, that interesting reason. The Gemara in Source 6 from Bracho Dav Dalet Amud Bet says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avina, Kol ha'omer tehila le'David b'chol yom shalosh pa'amim muftach lo shuben olam haba. Whoever says Ashrei three times a day, guaranteed, or he's promised that he's going to go to Olam Haba. So you say Ashrei three times a day, you go to Olam Haba. My time, but the Gemara says why? Elam mishum de'ati ba'alef bed. If it's because Ashrei has an aleph bed, and a lot of times when we praise God, we like to do it in an aleph bed format. Right. Well, the Gemara talks about that there. Yeah, that, the Gemara says the nun is not there because of a nefila. We don't want to emphasize falling down. So it then goes into Somech Hashem l'chol hanoflim. So the Gemara says if it's because there's an aleph bed, neima Ashrei tamimei derech de'atya b'tamanya apin. So what? There's another perek in Tehillim which has eight aleph bets in it. That's Kuf Yud Tet, I think. It's very long. It has eight of the. If Ashrei, we say Ashrei every day three times because it has the aleph bet in it. There's another perek in Tehillim that has eight times that amount of aleph bets. Maybe we should say that one. And Ela Mishum Deit Bei Potech Et Yadecha. No, that's not it. It's because in Ashrei we have this line Potech Et Yadecha, which we're going to come to later on. That's you need to have kavana for that line. You need to have special kavana for that line. Potech Et Yadecha, that God opens His hand, who must be L'chol Chai Rason and satisfies and gives provides for all the living creatures.
As a result of that, it's a tzaddik. As a result of that, Posech Et Yadecha is
Okay, yeah, good. So, Neima, so if it's because we have Potech Et Yadecha in Ashrei, and that's such an important, that idea is so important that we want to say before we ask God for things, we want to say, God is Potech Et Yadecha, God is the one that gives it to us. Why Neima, Hala Gadol, Dechtiv Bei Noten Lechem L'chol Basar? Why not say, in Hodul Hashem Kito, we say, Noten Lechem L'chol Basar, that God gives food, it's the same idea. The Gemara then says, "Ela mishum deit be tarte." Ashrei really has both. It has the aleph bet idea, and it has poteach et yadecha, and because of that, Ashrei is a very, very important tefillah. So based on this, the Rambam may or may not, I think it's not, at least to me, 100% clear, present a second rationale for Psuke de Zimra, a second potential reason to say it, and that's going to be centered around the importance of the Ashrei tefillah that we just saw. We just saw that if say Ashrei three times a day, it's muftach, it's promised to Olam Haba. So the Rambam in Source 7 from Hilchot Tefillah, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Bet says, "Dishavchu Chachamim Lamisha Korei Zmiro Misefer Tehilim B'chol Yom Vayom Yitehila LeDavid Atzof HaSefer." That the Chachamim praise the person who said parts of Tehillim every day from Tehillah LeDavid, which is what we call Ashrei. Ashrei is not from that perek, but the first two psukim are not. So if somebody says Ashrei until the end of until the end of Tehillim, uchvar nahagu likro psukim lifnei malachreim, and we already have this minhag to say psukim before Ashrei and psukim after Ashrei, it sounds like the Rambam is connecting the rest of Psukei de Zimra to Ashrei. That's what he's anchoring it to. Up till now, we were saying Psukei de Zimra is anchored to Shmona Shmona Esrei. It sounds a little bit from the Rambam that it's anchored to Ashrei, which is the key part of Psukei de Zimra. And then the Rambam then says, and there's a bracha before it and afterwards, and then you say Shma, and then you say Shema, that it sounds like really, we say Psukei de Zimra for independent value, not necessarily connected to Shema and Shmona Esrei. Chazal said it's an important thing to say. So Chazal said, so you're going to say it when you go to shul right before the rest of your davening, but it's not to prepare for the rest of davening necessarily. It is to say Ashrei, because saying Ashrei is very important. Okay, so we will. There might be a ramification of this question, but even if it's not a ramification of this question, and we'll skip in Penine Halach in the footnote in Source 8, he goes through a lot of what we said. There's one thing that we didn't say from here, that the source for saying Baruch She'amar is an interesting source. The first time we have it is from the Gaonim, so I don't know what exactly year, from 800s, 900s, 1000 maybe, somewhere around the 900s. That's really the first reference that we have to Baruch She'amar. But, and so some of the Rishonim say that Baruch She'amar is a bracha that was established in somewhere in the times of the Gaonim. because that's really the first time that it appears. There's other Rishonim who they quote. I think it might be from a Gemara Yushami that I don't know if our version has it or not. There's some type of tradition that Baruch Shamar fell from the sky onto some type of parchment of paper, and the Rishonim say that it's really of important origin. It's fell from the sky. So he quotes that. Other people say that it's really from the Gemara, so it's very important. Okay, so Baruch Shamar may or may not be from the times of the Gemara, but in any event, we have this concept of Psuge de Zimra, and then we have a bracha before and then a bracha afterwards. So now the question is, the question about why we say it takes on practical ramification, in that we started off by saying that you could skip some of Psuke de Zimra, right? You could skip it if you need to catch up to Tefillah B'Shmona Esrei with the Tzibur. So now, afterwards, should you go back and say what you skipped or not? It's an interesting question. I'm sure lots of people wonder. You come to shul, and for whatever reason, you can only say Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, and Yishtabach, the bare minimum. Now, after davening, should you go sit with your siddur and go through Hodu and Mizmor Latoda and Yichavod and all the Halalukas and Vayvarach David and Az Yashir? Do you have to go back and say it or not? So if Psuke, and we'll see this inside in a second, if Psuke de Zimra is giving praise to God before we daven to Him, then there should be no need. Not exactly.
Yeah, how can you go back afterwards if you were supposed to do it before?
Exactly. Not only that there's no need to do it, is that it might be bad to do it. It might be bad to now to inverse the order and say, God, you know what, even though the way of the world and from the Psukim and from Moshe, you praise God and then request, I'm going to switch it around. I'm going to make a request and then afterwards I'm going to give the praise afterwards. It might be, some of the Rishonim actually say that it's usur to go back and say it afterwards. We'll see how we paskin in a few minutes, but that's the question. If it's based on the Rambam, it's not clear to me that you go back and say it, because as long as you already said your Ashrei, I don't know necessarily why you would go back and say the things after the rest of Psuke de Zimra afterwards. So basically the question is, if Psuke de Zimra is Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why should you say go back afterwards and say the Halalukas that you skipped?
Well, yeah.
So this is a very, very old question, not new. The Tor, in Source 9, so the Tor wrote Halacha Sefer, on which the Tor was the son of the Rush. So I think he lived somewhere in the late 1200s to 1300s, he was the son of the Rush. He wrote a Halacha Sefer. On his Halacha Sefer, 200 years later, the Beit Yosef, the Rav Yosef Karo, wrote his commentary, the Beit Yosef, on the Tor, and then wrote the Shulchan Aruch based off of the commentary to the Tor, and he kept the Tor's organizational system also. So the Shulchan Aruch is, if you look in, they have them behind me here. Here's the Shulchan Aruch. If you look in the Siman in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll open up the Tor, which was from a few hundred years earlier, and the Tor here has the Tor and the Beis Yosef and other commentaries on it as well. So the Tor says in Source 9, V'im ba lebeit hakneset umatzet siyubar v'sof psuke de Zimra. So if you come to shul and you find everybody in the middle of Psuge de Zimra, what should you do? Al zeh sha'olu l'rav nacharonai. They asked one of the Gaonim. So from, I don't know when exactly he lived, 1100 years ago. Ma'u she'ipalol ima tzibur. V'yomar Psuge de Zimra achar kach. They said to him, you come to shul, they're in the middle of Psuge de Zimra. Should you say, daven with everybody else and say Psuge de Zimra afterwards? V'heishiv. He said, she'eino yachol. You can't. You can't say Psuge de Zimra afterwards. Ki taknum kodim tefila. Psuke de Zimra is a takana before davening, because it's praise to God, and you do that before you daven. Ela omer, baruch she'amar ad mehula batishpachot. You should say baruch she'amar, and then tehila l'david, then ashrei, then you should say halalu kel b'kodsho. Then you should skip to the fifth one. V'omer kana shamatel kahaluka v'chotem biyishtabach u'memar lipalalim atzibor. And then you should say with everybody else. Again, he says, "V'lo yomar otam achar hatfila kol ikar." Do not say Psuke de Zimra after davening, after Shmona Esrei. Do not say it. This says Rav Rav Natron and I Gaon. And I guess we'll probably not do this inside, but on this line, V'lo Yomar Tam Achar Tefila Kol Ikar, the Bach writes that he understands the Rav Natronai that you cannot say any of it afterwards, even if you said some of it before, and you said Baruch Shamar and Ashrei and the fifth Halleluka and Yishtabach. But Rav Natronai would still not let you, even without a bracha, he would not let you go back to say the rest of it, because the whole point is that you're saying it Shevach before a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to inverse the order is a bad thing. You should not request and then praise.
But we do say Ashrei afterwards.
For our second, the Gemara said you got to have your Ashrei three times. I know. So, okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. You know, okay. No, point taken. So Rav Natronai Gaon says, don't say it at all. Vizel Lashon, so then four lines down in source 9, so the Torah quotes his father, the Rush. Vizel Lashon Adoni Avi HaRush Zal. So he says, and this is what my father has to say. Kadav Rav Amram im nichnaz adam levetak nesha viroesh im yomar kol elu hapsukim shalo yuchal lahashlim tfilatu im atzibor. Right, his quotes his father that says, if you come to Shul and you see that they're in the middle of Psukei Zimra, don't say. What did Rav Natron and I go and say? He said, you should say, Baruch Shamar, Ashrei, fifth Halleluka, Yishtabach. So the Rush says, you don't have to say the fifth Halleluka. Say, Baruch Shamar, Ashrei, and then go straight to Yishtabach. So this is what he quotes from his father, the Rush. And then they quote from Rabbeinu Yonah at the end of the line, the Kazfu B'Shem HaRav Rabbi Yonah, Sha'amar B'Shem Rabotav, She'im Nichnas B'Shash Shlich Tzeir B'Machil Yotzer Or, Ve'ein Lo Shu Lomar Afilu Tila Lo David, Tovu She'ikri Kriya Shema B'Birchot David Pali Matzibor. It seems everybody's saying that you should minimize Psukei Zimra to get Tila B'Tzibor, V'Achar Kach Yikra Psukei Zimra Im HaBrachot, Shalif Me'em V'Shal Achareyem, Lefisha Tila Ritzu Mekabelet B'Tzibor. So we have, and before we say our opinions, we'll just skip a second to the Bach on the top of the next page, where he tells us from the Rush. So, Umasha Katav, in where there's a bet. Umasha Katav, Vizel Lashon Adoni Avi HaRashda, Hevi Lashono Demitoch Omashma Deloki Rav Natronai Bitarte, that the Rush is arguing and Rav Natronai Gaon on two things. One is, B'chad De'ein Tzarech L'Halalu Kel B'Kotcho L'Chol Neshmat Al Kaluka. First he says, you don't need to say the fifth Halaluka, you can just say Baruch Shamar, then Ashrei, and then Yishtabach. Ella Yaspik B'Tila David B'Vav, fine, V'Idach. What's the second, the Rush is arguing, for the, in second, Midelo hisir shelo yomar atam achar tefila. It's kind of like a silence that the Bach is explaining. That the Rush didn't say that you can't say. The Rush didn't say that you can't say Psukei Zimra afterwards. Alma de ein lachush im oran de kevan de oran below bracha. Don't the Rush was silent, but according to the Bach, the Rush's opinion is that you could say Psukei Dezimra after Davening without a bracha. Why? Einu ela kikori b'Torah v'lo k'misapri shvacha v'baracha achar tefila. Because it's like you're learning Torah. It's all from the Psukim. It's from Divrei Hayamim. Hodu is from Divrei Hayamim. The rest is from Psukim all over Tehillim. So the Rush thinks that since you're not saying a bracha, you could go back and say it. So now we basically have three opinions. Three opinions. If somebody has to skip part of Psukei Dezimra, should they go back and say it or not? Rav Natron and I go and says, never under any circumstances. I have to point out here that there's machlokesim about what each of these people is saying or not saying, but I would just go to the basic understanding, Rav Natron and I go on, do not say it under any circumstances, even without a bracha, it still is considered to be Shevach of God, and you can't daven and then say the Shevach afterwards. The Rush says you can say everything but the brachot afterwards. The bracha will be a bracha levatala, the bracha baruch shamar and yishtabach, or the bracha on the praise that we're saying before davening. So you can't say the bracha afterwards, but he says to go back after, he says, kikore batorah, nobody would tell you, you can't learn, you can't take out a divrei yamim and start reading hodu from there. And the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah then give the third option. I guess there's only three options here, right? Don't do it at all. Do it without a bracha. They say, no, you could even do it with a bracha. I don't remember if I...
Do it with a bracha afterwards.
That's where Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah says.
Though. We've already said the first Baruch Shemaan Yishtabach and Ashrei says a minimum beforehand to be able to...
So for Rabbeinu Yonah, you might not have even said that. Yeah, definitely for Rav Natronai, he says that you really should say that. But for Rabbeinu Yonah, the way that Rabbeinu Yonah presented it was that you just came and you didn't even say anything. You could just afterwards, you can even go back and make the brachot. So it arguably, and I don't think I saw this anywhere, but it would seem that for Rabbeinu Yonah, Psugit Zimra, at the very least, has a second function of Ashrei or something along those lines. So if you skipped everything, then you would still be able to make your brachot that are really connected to Ashrei, not necessarily connected to davening like we saw in the Rambam a little bit. But yeah, so those are our three opinions. So now, halacha lemaisa, what should you do? You skip some of Sukkot Zimra, what do you do? The Shulchan Aruch says, in Source 11 from Or HaChaim, Siman Nun Bet, right, the congregation already started their birchal kriyat shema. You can't even say psukei dezimra. Yikra kriyat shema birchata imat tzibur v'yipalimam. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should totally skip psukei dezimra if you don't have time to say any of it. We talked about this a few weeks ago, where we saw that the Mishnah Berurah says, actually, you should say Psukei Dezimra, and that Rav Shechter and Rav Avadya Yosef both paskin that you should skip Psukei Dezimra. But then the Shulchan Aruch says, if you had to skip it, V'achar kach yikra kol Psukei Dezimra below bracha shalifneim lo shal achrayim. Afterwards, you should say it without a bracha like the Rush. And based on this, I don't know who this is, the Atarit Tzvi, I found it in the Bar Ilan software. They say, why do you say it without a brach in source 12? To have a kikore ba Torah, like we saw from the Bach. It's like you're reading from the Torah, you're saying Tehillim, you're learning, you're not doing it as a tefillah, you're not doing it as like an interesting thing. You're not doing it to make up a tefillah that you missed, that... You're doing it because you missed the tefillah, and you could say it now as like some type of Talmud Torah.
You're praising Hashem.
So praising, yeah, but if you're the praise from Hashem would have to be not connected to the tefillah.
Right.
That would be the only thing.
But I mean, to me, it's almost like somebody that says chapters of Tehillim every day.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Okay, that's what you're doing. Okay. That's what you're doing. You're saying it as if you're opening up the Tehillim, you say five parakim every day, so that's what you're doing, but you're not doing it as like... I didn't say it before davening, since I didn't say it before Shemona Esrei, I better say it after Shemona Esrei. I better say it after Shemona Esrei. Right.
That you missed, that you skipped.
Right. That would be that's the takeaway from this. But not everybody agrees.
Of course.
The Aruch HaShulchan.
That would be boring if they didn't.
The Aruch HaShulchan says in Source 13, Uledina nira desheva al tase adif. So he quoted this whole thing, and then he says, it's better to shave the al tase. Shave the al tase means sit and do nothing. Sometimes we say better to sit and do nothing than to actively do something that is gonna be right according to one person and wrong according to another. So he says he thinks it's better in this case to sit and do nothing, i.e. don't go back and say what you skipped. Ubeprat sheyesh omrim, and especially he says because there's a she'iser gadol hu la'omer machar tefillah. And he says, because some of the Rishonim say it's actually usher, it's forbidden to do it. And he quotes, we didn't see the Bach in this part inside, but he quotes, the Bach quotes the Smag and the Ramban and a few others. So practically, the Aruch HaShulchan says, better to not go back and say anything. You're running too much the risk of it look like it's being Shevach to God instead of the Tehillim idea. And the Pnine Halacha at the very end in source 14, he says, "V'rov haposkim katvu," in the last line, "kishulchan aruch shenachol lahashim etapsukim achar tefila." Most poskim say that's what you should do. You should say the psukim that you skipped. So therefore, if you skipped it entirely, definitely don't say the brachot. Definitely don't say the brachot. And if you skip anything that you skipped from Sukkot to Zimra, you could go back and you could say it. If you're in a rush, or you forgot, or not the end of the world, because your Pesukei Dezimra was intact, you still were able to praise God, you were still said your Baruch Shamar and Asher and Yishtabach, and you were still praised God before you davened, and if you skipped some of the halalukas for the day, so, okay, try better tomorrow. Is that clear?
Okay, he's saying that if you skip some of it,
yeah.
What about somebody that came?
If you skipped all of it, you would still say without a bracha afterwards.
Right, okay.
Without the bracha, okay. That's like the Shulchan Aruch says.
Okay.
I mean, I guess this is subject to the same thing. It's subject to the same thing. If you skipped all of it, no, you definitely don't make a bracha afterwards.
Right.
Definitely don't make the brachot afterwards. But the question: should you say everything in between?
Okay.
That's the same question. Yeah.
My question is, I'll wait till the end. Yeah.
No, here's a good good point to stop is now. So,
if people know this, that it is important to say before, and if you're going to get up and make, if you're going to get up to come to shul, and you're going to put the tefillin on, you're going to say to get up or to make it. I don't say get up, but to make it that you come at the time to say to seek at the Zimra. Why do many, many people always, you know that that person comes at the same time every day, and they, it's not like they maybe missed it one day, their alarm went off the wrong, they got up, they always come at the time, and they do not do the season. Where is that?
That's not ideal. That's sometimes you never know what's going on, you know.
No, but I'm saying, but it's like a.
It's not just with that. Some people don't come to shul and daven at home.
This baby person has done it their entire life, like 15, 20 years. Yeah. So okay,
I don't know. Maybe they got busy and then they got used to it.
To get up and come to shul and get out of bed. And you're going to put the film and you're going to dive in with the tzibur. 10 minutes. 15 minutes.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, I agree with trying it not to be judgmental who knows what's going on. But yeah, certainly, Pesukei Dezimra is very important. Way better to say it beforehand than to have to enter
just the thought makes sense. I mean, to praise Hashem before you go to answer it. It's no different. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, not you're buttering up to somebody, you know, but, you know, if you have a friend and, you know, you want to, you know, you just want to go and give them a, you know, do this or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about those people that go and they do everything, including the Sukkot Dezimra at home?
Right, so maybe they do it at home. That's also...
What about that? It's okay, then you come with some even wear the talis and tefillin.
Yeah, why? I don't. You don't have to say Pesukei Dezimra in a minyan. You can do it at home. I mean,
it does.
It's just challenging because you never know when they're going to get to Baruch Hu, and you never know all those kinds of things. But I don't recall seeing anything that says not to do it at home. It might be better to do the whole thing in a shul because the shul is the environment, you know, the shul is an environment where it's dedicated to davening and there's people davening and we talked about the importance of davening at shul, but that doesn't necessarily apply to, that's not going to apply to Pesukei Dezimra as far as I know,
would people do it at home? Would they say, Baruch Shemar and Yishtabach?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Actually, something that I didn't see come across now, but I came across it years ago or whatever, and it's important to note is that because Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach are units, it's not a good idea to we're actually going to talk about interruptions, right? Interruptions, we'll come to interruptions in a few minutes. you have to be careful about interruptions there. So if somebody is going to do it at home, or you come to shul and you're further ahead of the shliach tzibur, it's a good idea. You should say yishtabach when you get up to it, so you can finish your psukei zimmer unit, because there's a bracha before and then a bracha afterwards. And for some reason, I think what I'm saying is pretty sure what I'm saying is correct, that it. On Shabbos is usually where it comes out to be a bigger problem, because a lot of people wait around, like Shochein Ad Marom or something along those lines. You're waiting for them. For if it's going to be a few minutes or whatever, you should try to say finish your Pesukei Zimra, because you have a bracha that you're now delaying and interrupting by waiting around or by doing other things.
See, in practice what people do if during the week, say, if they're ahead, then they really ought to say what they'll do then is go and read from Tehillim or read from whatever. So do that and finish that unit before.
Yeah, you absolutely should finish that unit, absolutely.
Otherwise you're cramming other
Otherwise. That's an important takeaway, is that the bracha, Baruch Shamar, is the bracha for the beginning of Pesukei Dezimra. I should have made that clear earlier. And Yishtabach is the bracha at the end of Pesukei Dezimra. And just like in general, when you're saying brachot and you're doing things, you're not going to delay and you're not going to interrupt. So too here. But we'll come to interruptions in a few minutes. Just something also that I just reminded about saying...
One bracha or two brachot? You count it all as one bracha?
You count it as one bracha.
You know you say should say mea brachas or whatever.
Does that count? I would guess it counts as... Two, I would guess. Interesting question. Yeah, that would be my guess. Okay, the idea about saying Shavach, and also I was reminded of this, and I think we said this at one point, but we might not have, is that part of praising God is also for us. It's also for us to realize the poteach et yadecha, right? We have to get that into our heads that God is the one that provides before we can then go ask for things. It's not, you know, so that's, I saw that idea somewhere and I thought it was very good about the shevach is praising God, but it's so that we get ourselves into the right mindset. And that's part of what Pesukei Dezimra is. So we have a few minutes left, and then we'll talk about some other halachot. We didn't really talk too much about the history of Pesukei Dezimra. So if we take a look in source 15 in the Pinine Halacha, he kind of tells us all about Pesukei Dezimra and when everything was added. So he says, Igar Pesukei Dezimra heim sheshet haprakim ha'achronim b'sefer Tehillim. The main part of Pesukei Dezimra is Tehillah leDavid, which is what we... Ashrei, and the five prakim of Tehillim afterwards, those are the last five prakim in Sefer Tehillim. That is the most important part of Pesukei Dezimra. And Hachashuv Shebem Huarishon Tehillah LaDavid, and Ashrei is the most important one. Why is it? V'chol ha'omro shalosh pami b'chol yom muvtach lu shuv ben olam haba, like we saw before. Ashrei is the most important one. That's what the Gemara said. You get olam haba. Because in Ashrei it has the Aleph Bet, v'nizkar ba pasuk hachashu poteach et yadecho mazbil lachol chai ratzon, and it also has the pasuk that we say that God opens His hand and provides for everybody, all living creatures. V'nagu lomar lefanav pasuk Ashrei, and there's a minhag, and it became the practice to say Ashrei before we say Tehillah leDavid, which is that's the beginning of the perek. Tehillah leDavid is the beginning of the perek. So we says, and we say Ashrei beforehand, possibly as an allusion to the Gemara that said Ashrei Yeshua Yitech is the source for us sitting before davening and contemplating or doing something along those lines. So we kind of say Ashrei for that, and then Acharav Omrim Chamisha Prakim HaPotchim U'Misayim BaHaleluka, and then we say the ones that have Haleluka. Va'alehem Amar Rabbi Yosi Yehechal Ki Migomrei Halal B'Chayim. This is what, remember we started off, that's what Rabbi Yosi said, the people that finish Halal, he's talking about seeing those last five prakim of Tehillim. And even though we noted, right, now to take us back to an hour ago, even though we noted that was more optional, and it now became standard, and it's something that we all do. We say Ashrei and the five things, the five prakim after that. Okay, next. B'tukufat ha-savoraim. In the times of the savoraim, which was I don't know exactly the years. The Savoraim were the Tanaim were the people from the Mishnah, maybe from the year till the year 200 or so. The Amoraim were from the year 200 to 500 ish, 550, whenever exactly the period of the Gemara finished. And the Savoraim were these people that were like just at the end of the Gemara period slash right immediately after the Gemara period. I think there's a big
never
debate.
Heard this word before, Savoraim.
Yeah, so Savoraim. It's
never even read.
It's a shorter time period, and I think there's a pretty big debate amongst the academics what their role was in the development of Judaism. If they might have edited the Gemara a little bit or a lot, depending on which academics and which schools of thought you subscribe to. They might have played a big role in the Gemara or a smaller role in the Gemara. They played this role. The Gaonim, we usually assume the Gaonim was maybe from the late 700s, early 800s for the next 200 to 300 years, and then the Rishonim are the late 1000s, a little bit before the year 1100, or somewhere in the year in the between 1000 and 1100 and Rishonim. So the Savoraim, they were like between the Gemara and the Gaonim. It wasn't such a big time period also.
Okay.
So in this time period, that's when we started to say Hinhigulam or Hodu. That's when we started to say Hodu. Right? Right after Baruch Shamar we say Hodu. Shehi Hashira Vihahala Shaamar David Be'echehard Aron Elohim Mishave Plishtim Lola Mishkan. This is what David HaMelech said when the Mishkan came, when he was able to bring the Mishkan from the Plishtim back to I actually don't know where he took him. Should learn more Tanakh. David HaMelech was able to get back the Mishkan, and he said the Hodu. So we say it, and also it was said in the Beis HaMikdash. Half of it, the first half of it, was said the psukim that we say in the morning, Hodu. Half of it was said when they brought the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Korban in the morning. They would say the first half, and the second half was they would say in the Tamid Shel Ben Harmayim.
Is so this what you say straight after Baruch
Shamar? Yeah, right after Baruch Shamar. And the Svardim say it beforehand. And the reason for that is we say it because we want to include all of our praises of God all together. Yeah. So we're going to say Baruch Shamar, and then we say all of our praises of God. And the Svardim, because it was said with the Korban HaTamid, they say it is part of Korbanot before they say Psukim de Zimra. So because we used to say the Psukim
with praise of Hashem, they're not in sandwiching it into that.
They were saying it with the. So Rav Sal, I couldn't find it, but Rav Salvechik, I read once, he applied this idea in a few places. What he calls a matir. Matir is something that allows you to do something else. It's not him that applies that idea. It comes from the Mishnah, the Gemara. But I remember seeing from him the idea that who are we to praise God, right? We're Basar Vadan, we're lowly people. Who are we to praise God? So what we do is we say Baruch Sha'amar, which is like our allowance. We're making this bracha, and that bracha opens up the gates to let us praise God. So based on that, the Rav said, and that's why we say Hodu. We say Hodu after Baruch Sha'amar, because he said it would, otherwise you have this idea of who are you to start all of a sudden start praising God. So we like get permission by saying Baruch Sha'amar, and then we say the Hodu afterwards. So that explains That explains the Ashkenazi minhag. And just as a foreshadow to the interruptions, one time I had an interesting conversation with somebody about how for Ashkenazim, theoretically there should be less talking in shul because you say Baruch Shamar earlier on, and that's already the point where you shouldn't be talking anymore. But if you're saying Hodu beforehand, there's a lot more room for talking. Okay, so this is Hodu. Next paragraph, the last paragraph on source 15 on the bottom of the page here. Tiknu hasavoraim lomar lifnei ashrei kovetz psukim hapotchim biyehi chavod. So the savoraim also in yehi chavod, which we say right before ashrei, there's psukim from all over the place, all over Tehillim. So the savoraim took all these psukim and put them together. Sheish bem chizuk emuna behashem ubegulat Yisrael, because all these psukim demonstrate emuna in Hakadosh Baruch Hu and in the redemption. So they took all the psukim together and they put them before Ashrei, which he doesn't spell this out, but I think logically this flows very well, that we take all the psukim that are all about our emunah in Hashem and that Hashem is going to redeem us, and then we say Ashrei and into poteach et yadecha. So we're saying we have emunah and we're acknowledging with our emunah that God is the one that gives everything to us. I think those ideas of emunah from beforehand and the emunah in Ashrei, I think, go nicely together. So this is that. Next, la'achar mikan. Afterwards, in the times of the Gaonim, nagul hosef lepsuket zimra od prakim lepsukim. Then, in the times of the Gaonim, so now 800, 900, 1,000, they added on to our psukei zimra. What did they add? Mizmor Latoda. They added Mizmor Latoda, which I didn't look into the reasons why. Sha'amru Chazal Shakol Ashira Atido Libata Chutz Mimeno. That the Mizmor Latoda is a very, very important parak in Tehillim, that all the other Tehillim are going to be Batel, whatever that exactly means, except for this one.
Wow.
Mizmor Latoda. The Ashkenazim don't say this on days that you're not allowed to eat Chametz, so we don't say this on, or days that we didn't bring the Korban Toda. So Pesach, Erev Yom Kippur, he quotes here. The days you don't bring a Korban Toda, we don't say it. But he says the Minhag of the Sfardim is to say it on these days, so I don't.
So the Sfardim do say it.
He says, that's what Panini Alecha says here. Minhag Sfarad, Omer Motobi Yami Melu. They do say it, but I don't know. I guess afterwards we can go look in the Siddur and see if there's like a note in there.
So the Sfardim say Rosh Shamar before. I mean,
they say Hodu before.
I mean, Hodu before.
Yeah.
Okay. How come the Nusach Sfard say Rosh Shamar in the middle, like what we would say, what the Ashkenaz would say, is the Pesikot?
What does Nusach Sfard do? They say Hodu before. Maybe there's probably a mix.
Then
you say Baruch Shamar. Right. Then you say Baruch Shamar. And when they say Baruch Shamar, that's the formal beginning of their Pesukei Zimra.
Right? So that's why they're saying
it. And they say Baruch Shamar, and they basically go from Baruch Shamar like more or less right into Ashrei.
Yeah.
Right? That's where they're saying it. Right, so for them, they connect Hodu to the Korban, to the Korban Atami, so they're going to say more with the Korban. And for us, we got to do all our praise. We're doing our Ashkenazim, we're doing their praises together. We're saying their praises together, so we were going to say Baruch Shamar first. And then, fine, and then he says, and then in the times of the Gaon, they also add the Vayivarech David, which is from Divrei Hayamim, and Az Yashir, and there's other few other psukim. One of the interesting things in, I think also this came from Rav Soloveitchik, is that really in Psukei Zimra, what we're trying to more or less limit ourselves to things from Sefer Tehillim, of praises of God. So we have some, but there's other things that the Gaon added, some of the psukim. Az Yashir is not from Tehillim. There's just other things that Psukei Zimra kind of picked up, but already by the beginning of the times of the Rishonim, it was basically what we have for our Psukei Zimra, other than some minor differences, and like we said, the order of the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim, but mainly the texts have been set. I guess an interesting takeaway that, and I didn't quote sources on this one, is that the Rambam has Az Yashir after Yishtabach, because I think the Rav explained that for the Rambam, you only Tehillim is what's going to really go into Psukei Zimra.
You brought that up another time.
I might have. Yeah,
I remember.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. So the Rambam has it afterwards, but we have we have it, and I also quoted, and this is another important takeaway, that if you need to skip, you try your best to you know, time things, and we talked already a few months ago maybe about like what you should say, right? The halalukos are more important than everything else, but I saw maybe quoted from Moshe Feinstein, I can't remember now, that at the end of the day, if you misjudged or something along those lines, it's okay if you say Psukei Zimra out of order at the point when you misjudged. So you said Baruch Shamar, then you went straight to Ashrei because you thought you wouldn't have time for the halalukos, then you were able to see all the halalukos. For some reason, the Chazan still didn't finish Psukei Zimra, right? So you can go back and you can say a few psukim from here, from there. Mizmor Latoda, right? You don't have to say that it necessarily in order. But if you come to shul on time, I wouldn't say it in order. don't make your own order. But otherwise, it doesn't have to be in order. So now we have a few practical halachot, and then we'll call it a morning. The Shulchan Aruch says in source in 16 from Siman Nun Aleph Siv Zayin 16, Sarech lechavein bepasuk potecha et yadecha bim lo kivein sarech lachzor ulo omra pamacher. You need to actually have kavana in this pasuk. You have to have kavana, and if you didn't have kavana, go back and say it again. You have to go back and say it again. And the Mishnah Berurah, we'll go back to the other halach in a second. In Mishnah Berurah, source 17 in Tetvav, She'ikar masha kavu lo martila le David b'chol yom b'shvil oto pasuk. Why do we say Ashrei? The Gemara said Ashrei has the Aleph Bet, but it also has the pasuk poteich et yadach. That's the one of the reasons we say it. Because b'shvil oto pasuk she'maskir bo shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'maskiach abriyoto b'mufarnasan. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu it watches over his creations and he gives them parnas and he gives them food. If you didn't say Tehillah LeDavid, if you didn't say Poteach Et Yadecha with Kavana, you need to go back and say it again. And the Pedine Halacha in Source 18 quotes, there are poskim who say, if you didn't say it with Kavana, you gotta go back, Poteach Et Yadecha, and say everything again afterwards. If you just finished the third Halakha and you said, oh man, I didn't really have kavana when I said Poteach Et Yadecha, he quotes poskim and say, go back, and then start, go right, Poteach Et Yadecha, Tzadik Hashem, Karov Hashem, the first Halakha.
So you go right back to Ashrei Ushvei, or you go...
No, you go back to Poteach Et Yadecha.
And then carry on.
But he says, but Lamai said that you don't have to do that. You have to say put again with Kavanah.
Just trying to show the importance of it, I think.
What he says, the bottom line is that you finish your, if you're wherever you are, finish the pasuk, finish the perek, and then you can just say Poteach Et Yadecha with Kavanah. Just say that line, and then you continue where you were. And that's an important takeaway. If somebody doesn't have Kavanah for Poteach Et Yadecha, they need to repeat that line with Kavanah. That is like the Ikar Upsuk of the Shevach that we're supposed to give God. So you need to know what you're saying and know what you're doing to give that Shevach to God, to give the praise to God. So that's one practical halacha. Second one, if we jump back to Source 16, to the Sifchet, the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein omrim hazmira b'merutza kim b'nacha. Don't say psuket ezimra b'merutza, like a race. Run through it. Get through it as quickly as possible. Say it b'nacha. Say it nicely. Say it slowly. Don't run through it. And the Mishnah Berurah says b'merutza shelo yidalek shum teva. Right. V'lo yavlim. You don't want to skip any words. You don't want to swallow any words. But he says this important line. Ela yotzi mipiv ke'ilu mone ma'ot. Say it as if you're counting money. If somebody, you know, somebody pays you back a debt, pays you for whatever services you provide, and you're sitting there counting the bills, you go too fast. You might miss one, or you might drop one. Say Pesukei Zimra like you're counting money. So most people say, I assume that this means that, you know, you're slowly, carefully saying each one, two, three. I believe also, I recorded Rav Soloveitchik a lot this morning. I think Rav Soloveitchik has I think this is what he was saying, that there's also this kind of like, maybe this is just my understanding of it, like, you know, like a sing-songy kind of voice even, which is, you know, if you're very happy when somebody gives you money, you're not just going to say one, two, three, right? You're going to be a little bit more sing-songy, a little bit more happier than that. So this is how you should say Pesukei Dezimra. We have this opportunity to give Shevach, to praise God. It should be done slowly, like somebody counting money. Slowly, carefully, not swallowing words.
Okay.
Being excited, you know, all those things that go along with counting money should be what we should be doing in Pesukei Dezimra also. And the final thing that we're going to talk about for 2 minutes is interruptions. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Source 19 that you can't speak when you say Baruch She'amar until after Shemona Esrei. You have to be careful not to speak. And even Letzorech Mitzvah, between Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach, you can't speak. Right? So if somebody pledging money, whatever, any Tzorech Mitzvah you can think of, learning Torah like Lewis mentioned before, you can't speak anything between Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach.
Or reading.
Yeah, most right. You need. You can't do it. You can't. Reading might fall into, is that really learning or not? Which is itself a whole.
You're saying Tehillim, for instance. You know, you.
Well, then you want to say it loud, right?
You're adding your own, adding more prayers onto.
So you have to be careful for this, and then the Shulchan Aruch also says, you could say good morning or boker tov for kavod, if there's somebody to give for kavod, and the rabbi or something like that. And if anybody says good morning to you, you could just say, you know, hi or something back. We're going to see the Mishnah Berurah kind of scales that back. And that's between paragraphs. And in the middle of a paragraph, show him Nehayira. If you have a fear, like a king or a ruler or a governor or something like that, you can say good morning and Meshiv Neha Kavod. And then you could return. If you're in the middle of a paragraph, you can't just say good morning to anybody that says good morning back to you. It would have to be the rabbi or a kavod or something along those lines. So the Mishnah Brura in source 20 says Bidibur. So afilu baruchu v'ruch shemo asr lomar. So you cannot say baruchu v'ruch shemo at this point in time. Once you say baruch shemo, we don't say that. That doesn't come from the Gemara. You can't say baruchu v'ruch shemo. You could say amen. You could say modim. You could say the halachas, and we'll see this when we get to Shema. If everybody else is saying Shema, you should cover your eyes, and you have to cover your eyes and say the first pasuk with everybody else. So if you're in the middle of Psukei Dezimra, you can say Modim, you can say Shema, Baruch Hu, Kedusha, you can answer Amen to somebody's bracha, but you cannot say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. And in the next Mishnah Berurah, he says that nowadays, I don't know exactly what was going on and how people were saying greeting each other, but he says nowadays people aren't greeting each other in shul. He says you shouldn't really say good morning to somebody in davening. It's not maybe they weren't talking at all in shul, or we shouldn't be. You know, I don't know exactly the details, but Mishnah Berurah basically says, I think nowadays also, if somebody says good morning to you, you know, you can give a nod, you can put your hand up like as a wave or something, right? I think that probably applies now, that you should be careful not to interrupt. You said the bracha, baruch shalmar, you're saying psukei dezimra, the interruptions. If you needed to.
This applies, of course, and a lot of people maybe forget to realize, but I probably know it in the back of the head, that until the end of the immediate count even.
Yeah.
People might finish davening, they're a bit behind, they'll say shikar or something like that, that's interrupting your davening. And that's like very, very common. Very common.
To you, when you're in the middle of psukim, is it or davening?
Yeah, when you've said it, and okay, you're stepping down then for shokhenad or something else, once it has to come up, and they say shikar to you, or they shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could smile and shake their hand, whatever.
No, you don't like that, do you?
Yeah. I mean, that would be maybe Minayak. Maybe here's how I could explain it. Maybe they're trying to say that since you're the Shliach Tzibur, that you're a person who gets the kavod, and once you're going to assume that you can greet somebody with who you're supposed to give kavod to, they maybe say Shkoyach to you or something along those lines. Maybe justifiable, but maybe better not to. I would agree. And final thing here is that the Pnimi Halacha in Source 21 points out something that's interesting, that if you're in the middle of Psukei Dezimra, he says you're not required to say Amen to other brachot. And that's why you're not required to say Amen to other brachot if you're in the middle of Psukei Dezimra. Uh-huh. So he says if there's other brachot or somebody, whatever, I don't know, whatever, any situation you can imagine, you don't, if it's going to interrupt you to say Amen, you're focusing, you don't have to say, so just don't say Amen, you know. The Mishnah Berurah says you could say it, but the Pnimi Halacha says, yeah, you could, but you don't have to say it. So in Psukei Dezimra, if you're focused on your Psukei Dezimra, and the guy next to you says something out loud, or the Chazan says, Chazan in the other room says something, right, you don't have to answer. And he says the same thing, if somebody's in another room, and you have a minion factory, in one room they're saying one thing, in another room they're saying another thing, and you're sitting in the one room, and you're saying Psukei Dezimra, and the other room is saying Kaddish, Kiddush, all those things, since you're in the middle of Psukei Dezimra, you don't have to, and you'd have to get up, participate, right, because you're part of the Tzibur, but if you're part of a different Tzibur, then just continue saying Psukei Dezimra. So this is on the interruptions front, it's important not to interrupt. If there's ever a real tzorech to interrupt, the Mishnah Berurah recommends saying Baruch Hashem li olam amen v'amen, because that's kind of like a bracha, it's like a half bracha, I don't know. So if you say Baruch Shamar, then you say Baruch Hashem li olam, that means you have a bracha at the beginning of your Psukei Dezimra and a bracha at the end of your Psukei Dezimra. So if you have some type of tzorech gadol, some major thing, you could do that, and then you turn away to do whatever you need to do, to go outside, whatever, your kid comes running in, I don't know, whatever. then when you come back, you just say Baruch Hashem Li'olam again, as like you're now new Baruch Shamar Baruch at the beginning, and then you have your Yishtabach at the end, but that's only under some type of real extenuating circumstance. Ideally, you're not, so it should not be interrupted between these two Baruchot. So this was, and like I said, we already spoke about skipping Pesukei Zimra a few weeks ago, so these are all the Pesukei Zimra topics. Next time, God willing, we will talk about the